Mother's Day. I was praying, where should I go? And I just felt the Lord was saying, go back to Proverbs 31. So we're looking at the wife of noble character in Proverbs 31. We'll start with verse 10. And it reads, a wife of noble character, who can find? She's worth far more than rubies. Her husband has full confidence in her and lacks nothing of value. She brings him good, not harm. All the days of her life, she selects wool and flax and works with eager hands. She's like the merchant ships bringing her food from afar. She gets up while it's still dark, provides food for her family and portions for her servant girls. She considers a field and she buys it. Out of her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She sets about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong from her tasks. She sees that her trading is profitable when her lamp does not go out at night. In her hand, she holds the distaff and grasps the spindle with her fingers. She opens her arms to the poor and extends her hands to the needy. When it snows, she has no fear for her household, for all of them are clothed in scarlet, or maybe double would be the word there. And she makes the coverings for her bed. She's clothed in fine linen and purple. Her husband is respected at the city gate, where he takes his seat among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies the merchants with sashes. She is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom, and faithful instruction is on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the reward she has earned, and let her works bring her praise at the city gate. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you that each and every one of us does indeed have a mother. And Lord, we pray for these women. And we pray for this text, Lord, that you would give us a better understanding and show us how you would have it to apply it to our lives. And Lord, show us something new here, as maybe some of us have read this many, many times before, and we say, it's old and it's familiar. Lord, might we find more than just comfort here, but also new understanding. Lord, I pray that as I preach the word, your anointing would be upon me, and that you would speak through me in power and in truth. Your people here might be encouraged and blessed. Now, Lord, let your name be glorified. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised, is how I titled this. But before we even go in and look at the text itself some more, let's just look at the book of Proverbs as in general. What are Proverbs? Truisms, aren't they? They're not something which is true all the time. It's things that are true most of the time. This is what we find. You know, that... Can anybody think of a proverb? You know, as soon as you ask that, you go, oh no, I can't think of a single proverb. That's one. Just saying, you know what? Why wouldn't you do that? Because it's a waste of effort. You tell people not to do certain things. Well, you know, in the book of Proverbs, you know, when the righteous thrive, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people groan. Do people groan when good people are in charge? Well, sometimes, yeah. It's a truism. But people are more likely to rejoice during and have a good time when somebody righteous is leading versus when somebody unrighteous is. These are the types of things we find in Proverbs. Proverbs is a place where we have truisms, things that we can take and say, you know, for ways to live, these are good things to think about. These are good things to do. These are good ideas to follow. So we look at our text and we see that it's titled The Wife of Noble Character. Now, a lot of people look at the Bible and the Old Testament in particular and tend to think that women in the biblical mindset should somehow be this oppressed, subjugated people group. That's not what we find when we actually read the Bible. It's not what we find certainly in the text today. We're finding this woman of noble character. And what's she doing? Okay, this isn't described as, this is, you know, don't do this. It's like, no, this is the way you should aspire to. This is what we, the ideal. Okay, you've got a woman who's running businesses. She's making sure that everybody's taken care of. She's helping the poor. She's taking care of the help. You know, we don't see that she's running back and forth for instructions. What should I do now, dear? Oh, what should I do now, dear? That's not what we have going on here. What we have here is a husband who's been blessed with a wife of noble character, and she's doing the work of the wife. Now, hopefully he is doing the work of the husband. But what is it? Well, it appears to be a lot of work, personally. You know, women work so much. I mean, really, seriously. This woman is a hard worker. She gets up before it's dark. Or while it's still dark, before it's light. And she's out here, she's selecting wool and flax. She's eager to work. She's bringing food from afar. Getting food for the family. She's setting about her work vigorously. Her arms are strong for her task. She's a trader too. She's being profitable in those trades. You know. So how'd you make out at that road sale, Phyllis? Did you trade profitably? You get that stuff for you got all that stuff for pretty cheap, and now here you got all this money. Yeah, well, that was pretty fair trade. Good trading. This is what we see is the example of a wife of noble character. This is what we're seeing. A wife isn't supposed to be beaten down and limited in her scope and authority. Instead, the husband is to release her to do that which she's capable, and to do as into the best of her ability. And this is the wife of noble character who is worth far more than rubies. Wow. But I thought the Bible said that wife was supposed to submit to the husband. Yeah. Also says that the husband is to love the wife as Christ loved the church. What'd he do? Oh yeah, he gave everything that he had sacrificially. All for her benefit, for the church's benefit, not for his benefit. What did Jesus get out of the deal? He got crucified. Yeah. What did the church get out of the deal? Salvation, eternity. This is the thing that we often forget. A wife of noble character. She's an ideal. Personally, I think Donna sets this ideal pretty well. But, you know, that's my own personal opinion. A couple of you might think other things about other women. But we have a little banner behind me that says, "Her children arise and call her blessed." And where does that come from? Right here in our text. Verse 28, "Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. Many women do noble things, but you surpass them all." That's what he's saying. That's what the husband is supposed to say. The husband is supposed to be blessing and encouraging and helping the wife. And the kids, they're supposed to, well, praise their mother. This is the woman of noble character. It says, "Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting. Beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." You know, fearing the Lord has always been a complex question with me. You know, people always ask me about that. And I like to take them to Proverbs to answer it. When you go to Proverbs 8:13, it tells us, Mike can get there faster than I can. He cheats. Especially since it says, "To fear the Lord is to hate evil." That's what it says. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil speech and perverse speech. To fear the Lord is to actually hate evil. And then in Acts 1, verse 7, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and discipline." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Well, it says here that the fear of the Lord is hating evil. It's about loving God. It's about understanding that God is indeed just. You should fear God because He's just. But He's also loving. But understand that true love won't hesitate to bring discipline when needed. I don't know about you, but I never really enjoyed discipline. Anybody here enjoy being disciplined? Okay, good. You don't have to have any special counseling for that. Love will not withhold discipline. God loves us, but He is just. So if fearing the Lord, if fear of the Lord is to hate evil, it's also to recognize that God is just and loving. Now, district conference, we just had a man who is a much better preacher and much better theologian than I spend 3 days explaining the fact that God's justice is fulfilled in His love. And that love requires that He be just. And that there be a penalty for not following God's justice. So we see the woman who is of noble character, the wife of noble character, is one who fears the Lord and is to be praised. That is, she hates evil. And she's trying her best to always live a godly life and character. Kids kind of listen to adults. Kind of. Usually what they do is they just kind of watch us. And they do what we do, for the most part. Not always, but sometimes we'll see our parents' faults and we won't repeat them. Okay? I didn't smoke, I never smoked, because I hated it. Because my mother smoked, my father smoked, my grandparents smoked, and it's like, that really bothered me. But guess what? My mother came downstairs one time and found my sister and my two sisters and a bunch of her friends behind the furnace smoking. They were 8 years old. Well, why were they smoking? They hated smoke, just like I did. Because all the adults were doing it. Must be cool. Even though they hated it, they still figured it must be cool. So they were going to tough it out. They look at us and they say, not consciously, mind you, I want to be like that, or I want to do that. If that's what they do, that's what I'm going to do. Kids copy adults. Half of my mannerisms, I can, and even things that I say and the way I say things, I can lay at the feet of my father. He used to say them. He used to do that. Sometimes I say things, I go, is that my father behind me speaking? Any of you ever experienced that? You know, you hear your mother or your father's voice. Why? Well, it's what you heard as a child growing up. It's what you saw time and time again. And then you, when you lived your life, this is how you emulated. This is what you emulated. This is how you knew how to interact with other adults, with other people, because that's the way your parents interacted. So that's the way you interact. This is why we have domestic abuse in a lot of households. Because behind closed doors, the kids are still there and we'll see it, but they learn in families that that's the way people do it. So even though they hated it, they didn't want to do it. When they go start their own family, guess what? That creeps into their family. But it's not just the bad stuff that gets copied. It's the good stuff. And this is the wife of noble character. The mother, whose kids call her blessed. Because you know what she's doing? She's showing everybody how to do it right. She's living the life that's godly. She's doing all she can to be that helpmate for her husband. She's doing all she can to make sure that her family is well cared for. She's doing all she can to serve God. And her kids see it, and they'll emulate it. They will do it, too, to the best of their ability. This is the woman to be praised. We need to give her the reward she has earned. And what is it? Our respect, our gratitude, our appreciation, our love, our praise, our support, our encouragement, recognition. A little recognition. Thank you. A little appreciation. Everybody needs it. Everybody wants it. And this is what our wives and mothers have earned. Some have done better than others. True. But if we recognize and encourage that which is good, well, we're more likely to get more of the good than we are the bad. People are more likely to continue to do that which gets positive reinforcement. So all you mothers, to all you women, Wives. Wives, future tense, maybe. I'd like to give you a little recognition, a little praise, a little encouragement, a little support. Kids, you're here just in time. Perfect timing. God wrote this part. Okay, kids, I'd like you to pick up roses and deliver them to each of the each of the ladies out there. Just take one at a time, one or two at a time. We would like to give you the reward you have earned, your praise at the city gate, or if you would, praise from the church pulpit. Happy Mother's Day.